Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke, and today's guest is Dr. Tracy Cox. She is a Doctor of Divinity, licensed clergy, spiritual coach, and Reiki master teacher. She uses research from her doctoral dissertation to help clients improve their lives on all levels. Today, we will be talking about her forthcoming book, The Spiritual Seeker's Guide to Practical Prayer. Tracy, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. Doctor of Divinity, clergy, yes. Spiritual coach, and Reiki master teacher. So
yes.
What actually came first, and how did you find yourself on this path?
Well, I come from a family where my grandmother was very devout, and we came from Jamaica and founded the Moravian Church in the center of Jamaica. I come from people that it was just second nature, you know, to pray or to talk about God. She was the church organist, so I think it rubbed off on me because we spent a lot of time with her when we were little kids. And I really distinctly remember they had this beautiful property where it was a gorgeous vista of an Ontario town here in Canada. And so at night, you would see this beautiful vista, and then sometimes you see these gorgeous sunsets or sunrises. And there was just a real spiritual awareness of God just from those things, seeing a sunset, seeing a sunrise, the beautiful lights, people talking about God, prayer. So I could feel that God was around me from a very early age. So I was never anybody that didn't believe and then converted. I've always been this way, and not through anybody teaching me, but through my own awareness, I think.
Which is interesting because I believe when you were 18, you had an NDE on your death experience.
Yes, I did.
I believe fortified your belief that God does exist, which I think might be at odds with traditional religious beliefs.
Sure.
Right.
So I would say, like, as clergy, I represent the metaphysical Christianity denomination. But what really I would say that myself is an omnist. So God is one. We are one. Everything is oneness. I believe that God comes through to each person in a unique way. And that's why it's so important to have a direct relationship with God than to pass it over to a middleman that's going to give you the rules and regulations for the way that you can talk to God, right? I'm not into that at all. And I also think that God comes through to different people in different ways. Maybe the only way that God comes through to somebody is through a beautiful sunrise, through a beautiful sunset, through the way that an animal interacts with them, because animals are earth angels. That animal spirit comes through to us in a certain way. So that is all God. It resonates for different people in different ways.
I agree. And talking about God opened up quite a few different rabbit holes. And we're obviously going to get to that because we're going to talk about your book. But one of the things that has come up recently, and this is through several speakers, is that originally, thousands of years ago, the way to commune or have communion with God was within ourselves. But it seems that the Catholic Church has taught us to worship a God outside us. It doesn't sound like you are really aligned with that, but more towards the belief is that God is within us. Is that true?
Well, I think that God is within, God is without, God is everything. He's the framework that the universe is hung on. Like, it's the foundation of everything. For some people, and Reiki calls it the universal life force. But, you know, Dr. Yasui that started Reiki, he was a monk, so he believed in God. It was the way that the energy came through. It's that white light of heaven. It's that universal life force. It's that inner divinity, the electricity that runs our bodies. It's all the same energy. It's all the same energy.
But it's not exclusively outside us. You think it's everywhere.
I think it's everywhere. I think it's inside us, outside us. Yeah, absolutely. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within.
There you have it.
So, right?
I'm not going to try and top that.
So I know what you're saying. It's funny because I'm not going to just say Catholicism because I embrace all religions and I believe that all religions are equally valid and different vibrate with different religions in the way that makes a connection for them. And if they're not vibrating that way, then they need to find another way, of course. Some people complain about it, so find another one, find another way to connect with the energy. It's different for everybody. It's like a fingerprint. We all have completely different fingerprints from everybody else on the earth or that's ever been. And I think that that's the same way that God connects with us. Completely individual.
Okay. Let's talk about the NDE and how that happened and if it changed your beliefs or your outlook on spirituality and just life in general.
Well, it was a medical emergency where I needed a blood transfusion. And while the doctors were working on me on the table, I left my body and ended up in the corner of the hospital room. And so I watched these doctors saving me and giving me this blood transfusion that was going to save me. And once I was out of my body, I could see everything going on around me, but it wasn't distressing. It was like there was a complete peace. You were just out of it. There was no more stressors. What I believe is that this is the way it is when we pass from our bodies. Because the way I like to explain it to my students and my clients is that I believe that the body is the car and the driver is the spirit. And the driver leaves a car and junks a car and goes to another car. I don't know anything about reincarnation. There's many religions that do believe in it. But I do believe that we retain our who we are, our spiritual essence, when we're up and out of our body. So that's what I saw when I was up and out of my body, is that it was still me. And I knew what was happening and I knew this was me down there. And then what it was, it's very hard to describe because I wear glasses and I really do need glasses. And first thing I noticed when I was out of my body is that everything was crisp and clear. I could see everything. I was like, oh, thank God, I don't need my glasses. And then the colors were, it was weird, but it was one of the first things that occurred to me. It was like, wow. And then the super saturation of the colors was like something that you don't experience when you're in your body. It's completely different. I don't even know how to describe it, really. It's alive. Colors are alive. They're different. And then what I noticed was that you could see the room and you could see the people. But when you took your attention, depending on where you were looking, you could dissolve through those walls and just see forever, essentially keep seeing, if you wanted to do that. And so I kind of was in this space, and then all of a sudden, wham, I was back down in my body because I wasn't going to die.
That was the next question. During that time,
yeah.
Did you flatline or not necessarily?
That I don't know. I don't know because they never got into that with me. They were just like the transfusion had to happen now because I was bleeding out. So that's the way that it happened for me.
And you were also prone to things like ESP, premonitions and things like that as a child.
Yep.
So yep. I guess it's fair to say that you were predisposed to that type of thing.
To seeing this type of thing, yes. I've seen spirits and I've seen ghosts my whole life, absolutely. I think one of the craziest things, if I think back on when I really started to see things that maybe other people didn't see, was a really strange situation. I was in about grade 2 or 3. We had this principal that was very strange in the school that I went to. This is going to be a bit of a shocking story, but I can tell you, and it can be corroborated. There's a point where girls are taller than boys and stronger than boys. It's just like a growth thing. I think it's around the age of 8 or 9. A lot of the girls are just taller and stronger. And we were very into women's lib because this was the 70s, right? So that was all first time around with this type of women can do everything that men can do. And I just always thought it strange that he was like, okay, well, I need 10 boys to go down to the book room with me and carry these books and blah, blah. And he would come into the classes and like round up the boys and they got to go goof off. And it used to tick me off. And as he kept asking and doing this, I just started feeling something was really wrong and something was telling me that there was something wrong with this man. And I eventually stood up in front of the class and said, I called him on it and I said, why are you always asking the boys to go down to the book room with you? Why don't you use the girls? We're just as big or bigger than the boys and we're stronger. And it was like you could have heard a pin drop. And it turned out that this guy was molesting the boys down there and he was found out. He was brought up on tribunal and he was transferred to another school system and it was brushed under the carpet. And this was 50 years ago now. Eventually, he was caught in another school board, sentenced to life in prison.
Wow. And you knew that. You knew what was going on.
I just knew something was wrong. I didn't know what it was. I just thought he was lying to us. There's something wrong. You know what I mean? And it was like really rough for me for a couple of years because then I was a target for him. Because I can't imagine what he thought from his side, from me saying that. Like everybody was all like, oh, well, Tracy, she's a women's libber. So we just thought he hated me because of that, because he was a jerk.
No, right? It wasn't that.
It went a lot further than that. But isn't that wild? Yeah. And I was really shocked because I found out from a reporter from the Toronto Sun that I was doing another story at the same time from, and I guess he had been on the beat, so he knew it. And he knew that we just started talking about that area that I was from. And this all came out, and I was just like, my jaw was on the floor because I had no idea, because we didn't live in the same part of Ontario anymore. And it didn't make that much of the news because stuff like that
back then it does now, though. That's the biggest difference.
For sure, for sure. But so for me, weird things like that where I would really, really take a strong dislike to somebody like that and knew that they were bad and knew that they were dangerous, I would get that quite often. And people would be like, what are you talking about? And eventually, like, you're right, you're right. I think that the biggest thing that I like to teach my students and my coaching clients is that gut instinct and intuition, those are there from God and the angels. That's them talking to you, telling you, look, this is what's going on. Because every time you don't follow a gut instinct, you'll always kick yourself later.
Very true.
Whether it's like not buying cream for coffee at the gas station on the way home, right? And when you get home, there's no milk for coffee. Just listen to it because that instinct is there for a reason. That's the angels talking
to you. That's exactly what I was going
to
ask you about next. We've talked about God a few moments ago, and you do believe, obviously, angels exist.
Absolutely.
Did you ever have an experience where you actually saw them, or was it a feeling?
Yep. No, I've seen them, like visually seen them twice. One of them, they were both in the same place, though. I used to live in this. It was like the original mansion in this area of downtown Toronto, and it was very haunted, and I saw things all the time. I was praying, and I was asking for help with the situation, and I opened my eyes, and all of a sudden, there was an angel right in front of me, and it wasn't like you would think. It was much more like biblical angels. You know, when they talk about an orb and it's glowing, and I can't even really describe what I saw, but I knew what was happening. And the awe was just
like, I can imagine. I'm trying to imagine.
Unbelievable. And you're never prepared to see stuff like that. And it was like this energy that was emanating from it, and it was almost like the colors that were emanating from it weren't just white light or anything like that. It was almost like all the colors of the rainbow pulsing and coming out. And it was so beautiful and so awe-inspiring. And I was just struck dumb. And you read that people say that all the time, but I really was. And then when my conscious mind started to take over, I screamed. And then it was gone. I found out later in theology class that if you translate directly from the Aramaic, what the angels will say to you, it's be not afraid, as they always say, right? Be not afraid. It's stop screaming. It's okay. That's what the angels, the original
really?
Translation is. Stop screaming. It's okay. And that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Nothing even compares. I can't even. It's hard to describe. Even with some of the crazy things that I've seen, that was the limit.
Well, not everybody sees angels, although I've talked to quite a few people.
Oh, people have, absolutely.
I'm talking about people that I've interviewed on the show, and I've gotten different descriptions, but there's also a lot of discussions about spirit guides.
Sure.
And I do think that some people, especially non-intuitives, do get the two confused. How do you know? What is the difference between a spirit guide and an angel?
Or I know what you're saying.
Is there a crossover? Or
A spirit guide is usually somebody that was in human form at one time and that they've crossed over and they're in the spiritual realm around you. That and they come through as a human. And an angel has never been a human. An angel has always been an angel. They're intermediaries between us and God because the energy from God is so strong. It's a way of kind of buffering it a bit so that we just don't get our minds blown. But you'll still get your mind blown. If an angel's going to talk to you, it's the first thing they're going to say is stop screaming. It's okay.
Stop screaming.
Stop screaming. It's okay.
I like that.
A spirit guide is a completely, completely different kettle of fish. I personally don't use spirit guides. I don't do any of that kind of work at all. It's just not in my wheelhouse. I go straight
to the source,
to the big daddy in the sky, straight to the Most High. That's what I do.
But they do exist, though, spirit guides.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing to remember, too, is that the biggest thing that I've seen when I had my near-death experience, but also when I've seen ghosts, when I've seen spirits come through, is that I think, really, it's just you inside this car, right? The spirit is the driver, the body's the car. Once you're out, it's still you. And you still look like you. And you can hang around where you were living if you want to. You might do that until everybody crosses over and then you guys all move on. It's not this thing where you suddenly become nothing. I think a lot of people are afraid of that, and there's nothing to be afraid of that. It's not like that.
You made an interesting analogy with the car and the driver. One of my favorite quotes is from John Lennon, where he says, "I don't believe in death. Life is just getting out of one car and getting into another."
Speaking of which, same idea.
Does allude to reincarnation just a bit, I think. But
it does. That I don't know that much about. I accept that that's true. I don't see any reason why that's not true. For me, that's nothing that's really on my radar.
It comes up enough. It's probably a conversation for another day, but I never miss an opportunity to bring up John Lennon.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
I think he was way ahead of his time, and we all shine on like the moon, the stars, and the sun. That told me everything I needed to know.
Exactly. And so the moon and the stars and the sun are more of the new age, but also the older religion before there was religions. It's all one. Like I said, God is one, we're one, everything is oneness. If you're an omnist, you just accept any spirituality as being that that's great for that person, and that everybody is slightly different, and that we should all love each other and pull together would be a great start.
That would be novel, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be?
I don't think it's ever really happened. That reminds me of your research. Tell us a little bit about how that helps your clients. Then we can talk about the book as well.
Okay, well, there's so much that you will connect with God, connect with their own spirituality, whether they call that God. Maybe it's just through Reiki. Maybe it's just through meditation. There's something that's going to help everyone in what I do. So help people connect with their own unique spirituality. So depending on what their situation is, what their beliefs are, I can kind of tailor it to
that. Doesn't it make things a bit more simple when we just talk about source? Because I think anyone who wants to amp up or level up their spirituality or learn how to raise their vibe, if you use the word source, that can mean anything. It can mean God. That can mean
Buddha.
Absolutely,
yeah. I use that word all the time. Yep. Our universal life force in Reiki. That's what I'm saying. That's why you kind of go between. There's lots of different ways to express spirituality.
The Spiritual Seeker's Guide to Practical Prayer. I can only imagine the amount of people that are going to be interested in this topic.
I hope so. What I really hope is that it helps people connect, because right now there's a politics of division and hate. It's trying to get people disconnected from God, disconnected from being spiritual. There's a lot going on right now that people need to really hold their center and pull together. Love thy neighbor energy will save us all.
The irony is that many politicians, who I won't name, will align themselves with
it's not worth it.
Religious cults, really, which is the absolute opposite of spirituality. Anyway, it's amazing how I think so many people just don't get that.
Yeah, I think that if you are practicing the golden rule, let's say, we don't even have to get into religion, the golden rule, where you treat others as you wish to be treated. If everybody did that, that's an actual meditation I do sometimes with people. If you thought about if every single person in the world lived with the golden rule, there would be a change in the spiritual atmosphere, because the people that are doing that now, what is the percentage? 30% maybe in the world? I don't even know if it's
that high. That's optimistic.
Yeah. But there would be a quantum shift in this world. If everybody could just golden rule it, it's not too much to ask, is it? Let other people do what they want to do and do your own thing. As long as it's not hurting anybody, what's the big deal?
I agree.
It's pretty simple, right? But it's so profound, the energy. So if everybody lived that way, that love thy neighbor energy, there would be a quantum shift, because we wouldn't be locked into this hatred that everybody's got going. All of the world governments right now are trying to divide people one way or another. I think that there's a massive amount of control that they're trying to take over. It's disgusting. That's all I'll say about the politics right now. It's people need to get their heads straight, because it's very negative and not right.
There's some of us who are trying to raise our vibration or find a way to do that. And then there are other groups that are basically dragging us backward.
Exactly. So that's what I'm trying to do with the book, is I'm trying to get everybody to think positively so that we can get out of this mess. Because we can do it. If everybody is thinking for the highest and the best, we'll come up with solutions and pull together, which we should do.
It seems very simple, but at the same time, almost impossible.
I know. Isn't that wild? It's worse than I've ever seen it in my life. And I'll be 60 in a couple of years, right? Like, it's something. So we can just do what we can ourselves.
Do you think that your early experiences of having premonitions and ESP and near-death experiences, has that informed your outlook? You either learned new things or it confirmed what you pretty much knew already?
I think both. I know it's a little vague. I think if you've got knowledge of God directly, which, like I said, there's no middleman. I think that a lot of the problems in the world is people trying to insert themselves to be the middleman between people and God and take a fee. And that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is learning how to do it yourself. And however that connection happens, like we said, it could be through meditation. It could be through music. It could be through, there's a million things, right? It could be walking meditation where you enjoy every single beautiful plant that you see, because that's something that naturally happens out of the earth. That's beautiful. There's a million things for us to be connecting to spirituality with. We just have to remember to do it, and then it'll lift our energy up. And we won't get caught in this fear and this division and all this crazy stuff that's gone on. The last 3 years have been out of control.
I'm here in South Florida. You see a lot of extreme people, like driving on the highway and looking at the overpass and seeing people holding up signs with, well, I can't say it because we don't curse on the show, but...
Sure, yeah, but the people seem to be completely off the rocker all over the world. It's not just there, it's everywhere. Like we said, it'd be solved by the golden rule. If you're just letting other people live their lives and you living yours, then everybody's going to be happy. There's nothing to complain about. And that means not inflicting any belief on anybody else whatsoever. It's the only thing that's going to save us. And that's what I'm trying to do in my little way.
Do you think things are going to get worse before they get better, spirituality-wise, or is that not necessarily true?
No, I think people seem to be searching right now. Like, I really feel people looking for a lifeline with this. I feel that a lot of people returning to religion because they want a foundation under them. Like, religion is the last bastion of hope against tyranny. And you can see that in countries where they don't allow religion. Okay, there's a big one. You know, that is evil and wicked, because what that does is that allows you to completely control the population. If you have a religion of belief and you truly do, you should be allowed to do that, as long as it doesn't hurt other people. If it's just about yourself, then that's the end of it.
Speaking of which, you are literally a member of the clergy, but you mentioned at the beginning of the program that the church that you live in, go to, is more of a metaphysical church than a traditional.
Yeah, we're registered with the government as metaphysical. And metaphysical is what we're talking about. We're omnists. We embrace all religions. We use a little bit of meditation. We might use Reiki. We do some of the spiritualist stuff that we're talking about, contacting spirits, or maybe going through a paranormal, through haunted areas, because it's all valid. That's the thing. To discount one and say, this is wicked, but this is good, you've lost me there.
Exactly. And you mentioned something about the spiritualist type stuff. So there's not that much difference between your church, if I can call it your church, and a spiritualist church, where, among other things, they have mediumship readings, don't they?
Absolutely. Some of us do that. Yep. Metaphysical is actually just another branch of spiritualism. It kind of crosses over.
Right. I can see that.
Yeah.
I think we need more of that.
I think we do too. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that religion is, like many things, are being redefined and adjusted because with a lot of the spiritualist beliefs and the metaphysical, like you say, people talking about near-death experiences and past lives and past life regression, life between lives regression research.
Yeah, very interesting. And then that's what we get into when you're talking about spirit guides. Those are people that go over there and they just want to do that work. They don't get back into the reincarnation bag. Because why would you want to come back here?
You said it, not me. I just had this discussion with someone last night. I said, look, when the time comes and I get the chance or the choice, do I want to come back or not? I said, no, I want to go to planet Xenon where there's beautiful women. I can play my guitar with
sure.
Prince and John Lennon and
yep.
Tom Petty.
Sounds good.
And again, seriously, I say that now being flippant, saying, why would you want to come back here? But my guess is when I go to that place, someone's going to say, well, what do you think? How did you do? Oh, I could have done better.
Oh, for sure. We all can. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We're all a work in progress.
But I think a lot of that research and the findings and the testimony from a lot of those people that have been involved in those programs seems to be fueling some kind of movement to raise our vibe. I think that's what they're really after.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's just my opinion, but it does seem like that's happening.
No, I agree. I believe that people are getting more spiritual because religion, it's been used as a hammer. It's been used as just a gatekeeper, and I don't believe in that. You know what I mean? Like you have to go through somebody before you can talk to God. No, you don't. God talks to you all day long. It's a lot more like the native spirituality. That's what they believe too, is that it is a
direct
conversation.
I had a conversation with a woman named Betty Kovach. I think that was episode number 115. To me, this is amazing because she's very educated. She's not an angel talker wearing crystals or anything like that. She just looks like your Aunt Lou or something. And
sure.
What she was telling me was that the Nag Hammadi text back in Egypt in the 4th century, the church sent people to all the different camps and told them, you need to destroy all of these texts or you will be excommunicated or executed. And the reason was because the content of the Nag Hammadi texts did not align with the agenda of the church.
Now, would that be like the Coptic Christian church? Like that all came out of that same area. Like that's the real beginnings of the church. If you get the traditional Coptic Christian.
Well, this is completely different because what it described is the Christ that said, don't worship me, become me, right?
Yeah, the kingdom of heaven is within. All these things you can do and more if you just believe in me. That's what he said. We can all do this. And that's the whole point of Reiki, is that the hands-on healing that you do is that we all have this ability because it's our divine nature and it's actually the electricity that runs our body. Like they can put you up on a machine and see the electricity coming out of you. We're like a battery. So we just use it, right?
Some need more charging than others, but yeah.
Yes. And sometimes the battery's low and you need a recharge.
What about Christ consciousness, cosmic consciousness? Are they one and the same?
I hate labeling things because it's different for every single person, the way that God comes through or the way that divinity comes through. I think that what he was trying to say is that we all have a divine nature. It's all within us, and that the kingdom of heaven is within. So I think that's what he was trying to say, is that we have this nature. If we can live our lives with that love thy neighbor energy, as you and I were saying, we would cause a quantum shift. The whole world would change.
We'd become light beings.
Yeah.
We'd become translucent or something.
Well, at least we'd be happy and somebody wouldn't be trying to force us to whatever they decide is we need it right now. I think that's just terrible what we've been through.
Anything else that we should know for today?
I think we covered everything that we talked about before. I think it's a lot. It's a lot to cover.
It is indeed. I think it did a great job of covering what it is that you do and how we can learn from it.
Yeah. Yeah. So they can check out my website. It's ReverendDrTracyCox.com. The book will be up there as soon as it's done. We're just trying to tweak it, and we're going to do a version two. Like, you've got a podcast. A lot of people are finding that they like to consume this kind of information while they're driving or doing something else.
When is the book due out approximately?
Probably by the fall.
By the fall? It's okay.
Yeah. We're trying to learn how to do the actual publishing of it, the layout and doing the stuff with the books. And it takes a long time to get used to it and figure out what you're doing. But my son works with me too, so he's very interested. It's fun to do together.
All right. Well, Tracy, thanks for coming onto the show. Can you tell the listeners your website one more time?
Yep. It's ReverendDrTracyCox.com.
Excellent. I'll put that in the transcript in the show notes as well. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. You can also find more information on closertovenus.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.